Blog Talk Radio.
Woke up this morning looking for my shoes. Looked behind the trunk, found the hesitation blues. Lordy, tell me how long.
Lordy, tell me how long.
Will I have to wait?
Will I have to wait?
Can I get you now?
Can I get you now?
Must I hesitate? Tell me how long.
Lordy, tell me how long.
Will I have to wait?
Will I have to wait?
Can I get you now?
Can I get you now?
Must I hesitate?
This is close by us. Is this Nicholas Grabowski?
I suppose it is.
There he is.
Here I am.
Yeah, so we got, okay, Nick, what's going on with Black Bad Sheep Books?
Oh, pretty much the same as last time. We're waiting. I've been working hard this past week to get some great Black Bad Sheep Books titles out. So, you're going to forward to a lot of stuff, like two things from Patrick James Ryan, The Maggots Underneath the Porch, and a revised, re-edited version of his collection, Bloodverse, which is very groovy. And then Nick Carey has some new stuff, too. So look forward to that. And then Raina Young. So as we go into the summer, it's going to be some really, really neat things. Anyway, so yeah, pretty much. That's about it.
Nice. That really sounds pretty cool.
Yes, it is.
Very cool.
Well,
yep.
So here we go. We got Cameron Scott here with us. And yep. I got to tell you, I love Cameron Scott. Cameron Scott has been with me through thick and thin. Cameron used to be a co-host with the show, and then he got, you know, too big, and, you know, he had to do his own thing, you know, like making all these movies and everything, and I got a lot of clips to play with Cam, because Cam, I got to tell you, man, me and Cam, there's something about me and Cam. It's like when we were doing a show on Sunday, I hate it when those girls say, it's like, and you know what I'm saying?
For real,
I know,
totally.
You know what I'm saying? You know? It's like,
yeah.
But Cam, he would call me up on the phone, and he's like, I said it again, didn't I? I said, like, he would tell me, can you wake me up in 30 minutes so we can do the show? Or I would call Cam, and I would say, Cam, can you wake me up in 2 hours so we can do the show? We had that, and I'm not taking any. We were each other's alarm clock. It's like, hello, we got to do the show. Wake me up. I'm gonna take a nap. And we had that kind of.
When you called me earlier, I freaked out. I freaked out because I'm like, oh God, what time is it? I took a half an hour nap.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's in 3 hours.
Cam actually messaged me, and when I was calling him, he's like, I'm calling the show now. Cam, the show
I woke up, and I'm like,
2 hours. What are you calling?
There was that wake-up call to remind me, hey, Cam, it's, you know, it's like 10 after the hour. You got to call in. I'm like, oh. I'm like, wait. So that's her time, not
yeah,
my time.
Yeah, he's like, I'm calling. Yeah. I don't
I was like,
know.
Looking
like,
up the number. I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah,
so
you see, it's like, I'm calling him on the show now. What did I miss?
And then I got Nick messaging me, and it's like, you know, it's like in an hour and a half, 2 hours. I'm like, oh, okay, I can take a breath. I try to be punctual, but man, I tell you.
I thought that was hilarious. I was like, wait a minute, am I behind time? Because I've been awake since 4 o'clock this morning. I don't know why I'm still awake, but I'm awake, and I'm drinking my Monster Energy drink now. But, yeah, Cam was like, wait, I'm calling into the show right now. Cam, we still have 2 hours. Why are you calling into the show? So I got a little bit of funny clips to play with Cameron Scott right now, because we had a lot of fun with Cameron Scott. Cam, are you ready?
This is going to be one or two clips. I'm going to predict in my own head. I already got an idea of what they might be. So let her rip, though. See if I'm right.
All right. And I got to tell you, there was one clip. I got to explain one clip. There was one clip, which I'm hoping is going to be on this one. When you spoke to the legendary King of Soul, Solomon Burke. And I'm hoping this one's on here. That was a great moment because we could not get Solomon Burke to sing on our show, and John Decker who said, Solomon Burke just sang on Francie and Friends. And it was all because of you. Let's take a look at this.
All right. Confessions. I'm just a wannabe filmmaker. Actually, it is my hopes, dreams, and aspirations to make midget amputee porn.
Oh, my God. Deny, deny, deny. Always
That's
deny.
Exciting yeah. guess. It's going to be real. Huh?
Sorry about that. A damn cat just clawed the hell out of my foot. Sorry about that, everybody.
Oh, wait, it was not there.
Oh, I did not think I was totally wrong. I had totally forgotten about
the cat scratch you. What's new, pussycat? Well, no, I will say this. Cameron Scott got legendary singers. I got to find it. It's on my switchboard somewhere. And I thought I had it in the five-year Cameron. So why I find that, Cameron, what have you been doing other than recuperating from a knee surgery?
And I actually, I go to see my surgeon on Tuesday. I've just been laid up with the injury. The surgery is coming up this week. So, but thanks for reminding me. I would have forgotten about that too. I needed an alarm clock. But nah, I'm just getting old. The knees are getting old, and I just got to have a little repair job done on it. I'm not getting full replacement, but since I've been laid up for a couple of weeks, I've just been writing. That's about all I can do. I can't walk around too much right now.
And what have you been writing?
My wife's suggestion many moons
which
ago.
Is Patty.
I'm always,
which is
yeah,
Chris.
Patty, and I think she's listening in right now. I hope. But she suggested that I kind of write a semi autobiography. So that's kind of what I've been working on. That I got another script. I'm always working on three or four different things. I mean, but. Really have been pretty much working on trying to get this film made that I've been trying to get made since 2013. But, it's called The Crocodile Chronicles. And
I've seen that. And, Rear and everybody is, like, really supporting that.
Yeah, they're helping out really and trying to share everything. I'm promoting the page. I'm not much for social medias, but I got some people, my wife included, helping me with like Instagram and learning all that kind of stuff. I'm slow on that kind of stuff. I'm not savvy to it at all. But she helped put together. Yes, and my wife helped
I'm
put together.
I'm still trying to figure out Instagram too.
She's showing me. I'm learning.
No,
sooner or later, I'll get it.
I downloaded it on my phone, and it's like, okay, so where do I go after this?
That's kind of what I feel about that and Snapchat and Twitter and everything. It's like, you know, I got a handle on Facebook. That's enough of a handful to try to manage all that.
Hey,
that
sounds good to me. I'm good with Facebook. Anything else, forget it.
Yeah,
me too.
I feel like it's just. It's just silly. I mean, it's a necessary evil in the kind of business that we're in. If you're in entertainment at all of any sort, you gotta have social media to network. But I prefer to just like, you know, sit down and read a book. I guess I'm really old school and like a real book, like physical book in my hand book.
I will admit I have a Kindle and I usually use it only when I'm going somewhere that I need something to do. But for the most part, I'm like you. I want a book. I want to hold it in my hand and read it because there's nothing like
yeah.
it.
Amen to that.
Going into a bookstore and picking up an old book or just old bookstore smell even. It's weird. If you don't understand
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I was going to say that smell. It takes you back to high school. It's like, Oh, it smells like high school in here. Am I right? You walk down, when you walk in, it smells like you're walking down your high school halls, and it's like, oh,
I don't know. I got a
like
whole other slew of smells that remind me of high school. And
yeah, right?
I think of my school.
Oh,
I don't
about that
think
one.
Of book smells.
Okay,
I didn't do that much
reading in high school. I didn't participate in the library. I didn't even know where it was.
Oh, I knew where all the libraries were.
I was usually stuck in one of them. I was a bookworm.
I was and I wasn't.
Right?
I was and
okay.
I wasn't. It depended on what it was. If it was something that intrigued me and pulled me in, you know, like a mystery or science fiction or horror, something that's going to keep you on the edge of your seat, that was my thing.
I think it's kind of cool though
because I worked with millennials and everything, and you know, they were telling me that now their sign was gonna be you know, pull your card chip out of the ATM machine. And I was like, yeah, and our word was, and they're like, what
oh, God,
is that?
The sounds of dial-up. The
I'm
horrible
like,
sounds
yo,
of dial-up.
The internet.
No, I
no
saw something the other day.
So what?
Well, there was a thing I saw the other day where they're talking that, you know, when we used to get, your internet would come on an AOL disk and you would get your internet on a CD. And if somebody tried calling you, it would interrupt your internet. Or someone picked up the home phone while you're on the computer, it would interrupt your fucking internet.
And it's like this 1-800 number and you're like, freaking idiot, I was downloading a song on Kazoo. I'm going to call you back and cuss you out. How many times do you want to cuss those people out?
Oh, no doubt.
You want me to donate money, but you won't even let me download a free song. I'm going to kick your ass.
Yeah, exactly.
I can see Cameron doing that, too. Like, you son of a bitch.
I might have gotten that mad once or twice. Meaning once or twice that I remember, meaning it happened dozens of times.
Come on, you're on, what was that? It was LimeWire, and you're like downloading the song, and you're like, I'm like 2 gigabytes away, ring, 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 da, and it's like, the hell? The kids have it too easy today. You're like looking at your...
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Like, come on, I'm finally getting abracadabra. Am I showing my age?
Yeah,
a little bit.
Oh, come on.
Okay,
this is
how much of a glutton for punishment I was when I was in high school. I was sitting there reading The Shining, okay? And watching Helter Skelter at the same time.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was a glutton for punishment. Then the noises started happening.
And then the phone call happened. And you're like, mother.
And you're home. Well, no, I was sitting there watching Helter Skelter and reading The Shining, and I was home alone.
Oh.
So you know how that goes. So I had practice on scaring the shit out of myself, but scaring the shit out of other people is easy now. I practiced on myself first. I can do that. That's crazy, but I can do that. I can sit there and read a book and watch a movie.
At least you practice on yourself. Like we said a couple of shows ago, I practice on my nieces, making them watch The Exorcist Beginning. But Cameron! My God! Dude! I mean, everything that you do, and this is something that I respect from you, is that everything that you do is out of pocket. Out of not anybody's pocket but your pocket.
Well, that's one of the reasons why, I'm so broke. But, you know, everything that we do is, you know, we're outside of the Hollywood system, filmmakers like myself. You know, we're not getting funded by producers and whatnot. You know, that's one of the reasons why I started running the Indiegogo for the Crocodile Chronicles, because it was either make or break, you know.
About that.
Well, when I was finished
up doing... finish explaining this first. I'm putting a lot on your plate.
She does that, don't she?
That's okay. I didn't eat dinner. Go ahead. Put it on my plate. Get it going.
Okay. Finish talking about how you work so hard. I mean, everything that you do, it's like it's not – I got these producers coming in, and they're going to fund this. No, you're funding it.
Keep in mind, it's not for lack of trying. It's not for lack of trying. I've tried to get producers and people willing to put up money, but people are just plain broke these days, to be quite honest.
And the thing is that you don't stop. You keep going.
Well, I was actually just talking with a friend of mine named Denver that on Facebook right before the show, and we were talking about Orson Welles, strangely enough, and people like him that are just were insanely focused and insanely obsessed about trying to make films. And in many interviews it said, you know, they would not recommend this kind of lifestyle for somebody. And then that's what I say. You've got to be a little bit crazy to do the kind of work that I do. You've got to be a little, actually, you know, you don't need to be a little bit, you need to be a lot of bit crazy, because, you know, it's not for lack of trying to get producers. Cause trust me, if I had somebody that had money and that trust me with the money, I would make a hell of a film. But people are just plain broke these days. I mean, the last couple of films, you know, that I've been a part of, even behind the scenes. You know what I mean? It's all been self-financed, self-produced. Everybody I know is self-made, you know, and that's the one kind of thing that is a consistent in this business, in the indie film world. But again, you know, I got inspired to do the Crocodile Chronicles. It's actually by reading about it. Crocodile or crocodile, as it's correctly pronounced. But it's almost second nature for me.
I'm trying to figure out how to pronounce it.
Well, it's pronounced crocodile. That's the Russian pronunciation of it. But it's just been so easy, I guess, you know, here in America, just call it the crocodile. Because it's basically what happens. I mean, this stuff, it turns your skin scaly like a crocodile. Crocodile, for anybody that's listening, doesn't understand what it is or doesn't know what it is or never heard about it. It's an epidemic over in parts of Siberia, Russia, and Eastern Europe. It's a drug that was used as an alternative for heroin, like a homemade heroin over there. That was a real thing.
Oh, wow.
And they inject themselves with this crazy homemade stuff that just crazy is the only way to describe it. It's like nothing you'd ever seen before in your life. It's, if you Google image any kind of thing about it, it's hard to even look at. It rots you to the bone. You lose arms, lose legs from it. It makes fingers and toes fall off. Lots of people with one dose of this, they try it once, and they can die one time from it, and there's repercussions from this the rest of your life. You know, it's something you'll never come up. You get brain damage, and people go blind. It's a really horrible thing. But I mean, I was finishing making my first film, you know, PMA, when I did that, a friend of mine told me about this. He's like, you need to see this documentary on this stuff called the crocodile. And I'm like, I'd never heard of it. And they call it the drug that eats its junkies. It does. I mean, it eats them alive. It turns people into real life zombies. And it's a real thing. It's not fake. It's not Hollywood. And
I have seen that. And I do want to talk to you more about that because Nick and I, we have actually watched a documentary about the crocodile virus, but Honey Boo Boo is like, have you worked with her yet, Cam?
No, thank God. No, I have not and probably would not, no.
Okay.
That'll make me holler, Honey Boo Boo! Better
than
this, now your phone's ringing.
All right, okay. We got area code 831. Yeah, Honey Boo Boo, yeah, she will throw stuff at Don and I and Tom.
I didn't even know that was still a thing.
Yeah, probably.
But we got people calling in. I've been getting messages from people on Facebook saying they're trying to call in or have called in, or I think they called in.
Area code 831, you're live.
Oh, hi. I've been listening.
Hi.
I'm Leanne Langford.
She's giggly. She's going to be fantastic. Hi, welcome.
Hi, thank you.
I know that voice.
No, thank you.
I'm really thrilled to be on with you guys tonight, and absolutely honored to be in Cameron's vision of what it's crocodile, if you were Russian.
Yeah.
It's
you can pronounce it much better than I can. I've been trying to roll
well,
my
that is because,
right.
Cameron, I'm going to have to talk in different way, yes? Yes? Mm?
Yes.
So, okay.
You can do that so much better. That's why you're the actor and I am not.
No, you do really good. Ruski.
I could do
dialect.
Well, but I don't think I would try. I don't know that I would
right?
find
you do.
To do a Russian accent.
Well, I'm studying it, so it's really intense, and then my brain takes over, and I start actually writing like I'm a Russian, and you know, saying things that, you know, leaving out words and all kinds of things, like cream cheese. You know, cream cheese in your brain. You know. But I wanted to call and talk about, hello, I wanted to talk about, I wanted to sign up for the amputee porn, by the way, so, and Tom Jones, so we'll talk about that later, right?
Yeah, we're going to talk about
that. Yeah, we can talk about that
amputee
later, but what I really want to,
post-mortem, right?
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Cameron.
I was going to say, well, we haven't actually worked together yet, but we've been working on developing the script for Crocodile Chronicles to get together and developing the part. It's an anthology. It's one part I didn't mention yet, but Leanne here is actually playing the title character in one segment that is called The Woe of Nikita, and she is playing the title character of Nikita, and we've been working a lot on the dialect and kind of the background to make it as authentic as possible.
I become basically Nikita and I'm Nikita. I usually refer to myself as Nikita. She is the prologue. She is the guts of the film. She's the first representative of Crocodile, which is the star of the movie. Crocodile is the star of the movie. It has to be up front. It has to have the spotlight. It takes the spotlight. It's devastating. And Cameron put together an incredible ensemble cast to play in these in the anthology, in the wraparound. So it's an amazing, unique idea that they start with this woman who is telling a story. Basically, and it's amazing how many people don't know what crocodile is. They don't understand that it's not made up. It's a very real and dangerous synthetic morphine. And our U.S. government actually used it for 3 years before they realized what they were doing. And you have an incredible cast to bring this devastation and craziness to the forefront. It's gonna totally freak people out. It's brilliantly written. I've been wanting to work with Cameron since Postmortem America 2021 came out. I heard so much about him, and I knew I wanted to be Nikita.
Good stuff, and she still wanted to work with me.
Yeah. Yeah, and I really want to drive home this point, is that indie film is so hard when you have such a great vision. It's hard to make film. It costs money. And it's not like, oh, well, we're just going to go out and have a party and make a film. It's, as you know, on your show, you talk to many producers, directors, and everybody in the industry that it takes, you know, insurance and fees and actors' travel and their lodging, and so many things go into making a film like this one. This is a very different film.
You know, and it's also getting in the right locations and getting, you know, things that will do justice to the source material, because, you know, you can have the good source material, good script, but, if, you know, and then the execution, if you don't have the right actors, especially, or the right locations or whatnot, it's not going to work. You can't just turn on the camera and expect magic. You got to, and that's the thing of self-producing this kind of thing, as you asked before, you know, Francie, you know, and saying that, you know, that I've always footed the bill on this sort of thing. But, you know, people think of in terms of low budget versus, you know, large budget. A movie like, say, Wonder Woman that has a $200 million budget.
That's considered micro
budget. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's like, I imagine they, you know, the entire budget for Crocodile Chronicles is $18,000.
Right.
But yeah, they spent more than that on the cappuccino budget for Wonder Woman. You know, they spent more on cappuccino on coffee and red than Red Bull for people.
I have to agree with you on that. Like,
I'm not saying that they make a bad movie.
You're making that. Remember the never mind. The George Clooney, he's trying to get an espresso.
Oh, yeah, that's espresso
commercial, yeah.
Okay. I was trying to make a joke, but it didn't work. Yeah.
Well, you know, coffee costs money. There's going to be coffee at Crocodile, so you know we need that. We need funds. We have. If Cameron wouldn't mind telling you guys, I'm sure you have. You guys, that's really professional, huh? if Cameron wouldn't mind to tell you our cast, because we have a wonderful, wonderful cast.
We do. I believe we have another one of the cast members is on hold, Michelle Nezik, who I also met. She is playing a character in Requiem for a Junkie, which is one
another
of the other
great story.
Chapters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we almost...
Yeah,
honey,
that's
my baby, honey, boo-boo. You better remember now your phone's ringing.
Oh, God, honey, boo-boo.
That scares me. Again.
Honey, boo-boo, frightens me.
Area code 813, Honey Boo Boo has been throwing like little beads of socks at me.
Well, if we could get the cast mentioned, that would be great, because I think you'll really be excited. I think everybody listening to this will be like, wow.
Hello? I'm excited to work with a lot of these people. Oh, do we got Michelle on?
Yeah, 813.
Hi, Michelle.
Oh, am I... Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Hey, we hear you. You made it through.
Yay.
Very well, thank you.
Well, Michelle here.
I've been listening to guys all, you know, stalker.
Talking.
Yeah.
But Michelle
Ani Boo-Boo. Ani Boo-Boo has a big deal of throwing bean bags at me. Like, you better pick up your phone.
I guess. Is that jelly beans or what? SpaghettiOs.
I don't know. She just fills up these little brown socks.
Canned goods.
Right at the phone, right at the foot toes, and it's like, pick up your phone.
Michelle, I would love to ask you, how do you feel about your part in Requiem for a Junkie? I would love to hear more because I haven't really talked to a lot of the actors, and I won't be meeting some of the actors. So I'd love to hear from you, like what your impressions are and how you feel about your part.
Oh gosh, Karen and I met about 2 years ago through a very dear mutual friend named Lydia. And
hi, Lydia.
He was casting.
Hi, Lydia.
We love you. And he was casting, and it seemed like a lot of fun. And I, you know, kind of grew up watching Jim O'Rear and Robert Lazzaro. And it's actually kind of funny. I don't want to give any spoilers, but the Robert Lazzaro thing and what happens throughout the film is a childhood wish come true. So thank you, Cameron.
Right.
I was thrilled to be able to land Lazzaro, which I might say he is an amazing guy and amazingly intelligent.
He's so kind. And his wife is amazing. And just, oh my gosh.
I was intimidated at first talking with him. And if he's ever listened to this, he'll probably ask me why I was intimidated. But he's Robert fucking Lazzaro. I mean,
he's boss, man.
I met him while driving on the night blade set. I was driving him back and forth to hotels and airports and the set and whatnot. And I got to know him. I'm like, Jesus Christ, he's really not scary. He's like the nicest dude in the world.
No,
but
he's really nice and down to earth because he's an amazing actor.
I think it's really, really exciting. I think you have a wonderful story with Requiem for a Junkie. Wonderful people to work with.
I'm so excited to get to play Hope.
I would love to meet you.
I hope we do get to meet. At some point, I'm sure we will.
I hope
it'll
so.
Happen.
But how do you feel about being Hope, that character? How do you feel about the story? I'm just curious.
Honestly, Cameron gave me a list of options to choose from, and I actually chose Hope.
That's right.
Yeah, I chose
Hope. We all made our choices,
What made you choose Hope?
So you related to her then more.
I chose Hope. I did. I found her very relatable, and when I was reading the script, it's everything is, you know, when she's clean and it's before the problems, and then, you know, and then we go to the actual problems of her addiction. And it's very, you know, fleeting and faint, but it's there. And it seemed like a wonderful challenge to be able to take such a small part and put as much into it as I possibly could to make, hopefully, at least one person in the audience feel for Hope and wish for, a better life.
She's the only one that I definitely can respect for that
because she's saying, you know, I want to take this character, I want to embellish it, and I want to make it my own the best that I can. I totally respect that.
Well, we as actors said, you know, I think Michelle would agree with me. I'm not going to speak for her or anything, but I think she'll agree with me that we as actors in the craft that we're in, that is the motivation, is digging deep inside ourselves to find where that character is and becoming that character and being able to convey that character.
Yes, it's cathartic. You can take your entire life and crunch it into this shell of a character and, you know, help breathe life into it. The writers, of course, you know, give it form. You know what
we
I mean?
We have
but
to have
you
that,
have to
yeah.
It
yeah.
Yeah, we give it the pumping blood and the pulse. And that's what I love about acting and especially getting to take on such a well-written character.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree.
It's just the challenge is wonderful. It's kind of like that Kate Bush song, Running Up That Hill.
Oh, God, I love that song. I adore her.
So
it's so funny because I picked a song for Nikita. And then I found out Gary Oldman does that too. He picks music.
Does he really? Oh God,
yeah.
I love Gary Oldman.
He'll sing. He sang when he was doing Dracula. He was singing all these songs that he was relating to get him in love, that kind of mad love. And I found a St. Vincent song called "The Party" that totally I related to Nikita. Yeah, I do too. And I find that interesting that because I think that that media of music and film, and it's so fluid. You know, it's so emotional.
It turns into one gigantic living organism.
It does.
It really does. I use music when I'm writing. You know, when I'm writing, I have a theme, and I.
Yes.
You know, like for instance, when I did Postmodern America, I listened to nothing but John Carpenter music. That's all I listened to, John Carpenter music. And while I've been writing, when I wrote this one, I actually wrote, not wrote, but I listened to a lot of the, believe it or not, stuff that I listened to, like when I was in high school, I listened to a lot of Alice in Chains, Soundgarden, Nirvana type music. And, you know, I listened to that, which you wouldn't think by reading it, but, you know, each, you know, you find inspiration in the strangest of places. But, music.
For me, it was my life with the Thorough Kill Cult.
There is a question. I never asked Cameron Scott this question. Okay? Because you're a writer, you're writing these scripts, they are awesome. You're going out there, and like we said, you're not sitting on your couch. You're out there doing this. We talked about that on the show before. What actors actually, have you ever, like, watched a movie and, like, wow, that's my character? Like, Robert De Niro.
Oh, interesting.
Robert De Niro in something and be like, wow.
You mean like as in somebody I would want to play myself or just a performance?
I think she thinks relating to.
Oh.
Just anything that you wrote, like anything that you wrote, it's like, wow, if this was to go on mainstream, this is who I want to play it. I'm writing this character for this specific person.
If I had a dream role or not dream role or a dream actor, to be honest, or somebody that I've seen and have admired, it's really hard. It'd be hard to narrow it down. But if I can narrow it down to a couple actors that have really inspired me, if I guess you call them mainstream or whatever. But I mean, I'm a huge Rucker Hauer fan.
Yeah.
I really like Rucker Hauer. And it may seem like a strange choice, but I've always have and always will be a huge Mickey Rourke fan. I know he's not popular, and people tend to love him or hate him, but even in the shittiest of films that man has done, and let's just face it, I'm a huge fan, but he's done some really intensely shitty films. But he always has moments of glory in those films that are better than the rest of the film. It's like there's moments he has where he brings something else to what he does. There's an intensity there. He'll find a moment. I think that's what he does. You know, as actors and directors and writers, whatever, we're all trying to find work. And I'm sure we have all been part of a project. But, you know, we're like, well, you know, we went super, super excited about it. But there was something there.
And we're like, well, you know, we went super, super
excited. But, yeah, Mickey Rourke and Rucker Hauer, if I had to narrow it down, I don't think I could pick this
one. He's amazing,
I'd have to write a movie for both of them.
Nice answer, actually.
I think I was about 5 years old, 6 years old when Blade Runner came out. And
it's
I was
so brilliant.
What's that?
That is Nick's favorite movie, and I'm going to make a confession, and I'm hoping he's not going to hear this more. I've never seen the movie.
What?
Oh
Blade
God.
Runner?
You cannot.
Oh, you must see it. It's Ridley Scott.
It's
everybody in that film is amazing.
He's already on it.
Daryl Hannah breaks my heart in it.
I'm sorry, Michelle, what did you say?
Daryl Hannah breaks my heart in that film.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
the plight of the replicator, you know,
yeah.
a replicant.
Yeah.
Essentially, they have the mentality of a child. Like, you get that at the very beginning.
Exactly.
And he's like, tell me about your mother.
Power.
And he's like, I'll tell you about my mother. Yes. And, like, so basically, they're like these little children in the bodies of these adults. And they are created for slavery, for sex service, to kill.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
I find
that
such a complex
yeah.
story. And it's more human than human,
customer.
Even though it's about a machine.
I agree.
I love that movie so much.
And that end scene really proves that.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, yeah.
She was just like, she was like a broken doll, is how I describe
her. Yeah,
very broken. Which is why
and,
she was drawn to J.F. Sebastian in that movie, you know, I think.
Right, but I loved that last scene in the rain. And Rutger Hauer was like, my God. I mean, he is, and that was ad-lib. He totally came up with that line at the last minute, and he just said it, and it was just, oh, my God. I mean, I watch a movie once a year. I have no problem watching Dracula or Blade Runner or Alien, anything Ridley Scott.
Yeah,
thank you.
He's not exactly popular right now, but I could give a damn. The man is amazing. He's in my mind.
Oh, yeah. I don't
amazing.
Care. He's
never
a visionary. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. And
might
I add...
You stick to that talent. Yeah, exactly.
Well, just like Terry Gilliam was just reading about that he got The Death of Don Quixote finally made and finished after trying to film it for 17 years. There's dedication. 17 years, and there's a guy who doesn't need to make a movie because the man is, you know, rich as hell. He doesn't need to pursue it, but that's the level of manic obsessiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, passion and obsessiveness.
I think that filmmakers and writers are such tortured people because it's not like you, Cameron, are going to say, yeah, I really like to write. That's not it. You have to write. It's not a choice for you.
And you don't give up.
Yeah,
you don't give up. And that's the thing.
Yes.
You're spending your last dollar on your paycheck to make sure this movie is going to be made.
Well, actually, we're hoping that people will help us out on our fundraiser. And Cameron can tell you more. Patty and Cam have worked really hard on that. So, Cameron, I'm going to hand that part over to you.
Yeah. undertaking an Indiegogo, one, is much like filmmaking. I wouldn't recommend it to anybody. It's crazy. Just like filmmaking. But it's a necessary evil at times if you don't have
I wish it on my worst enemies.
Yeah, I wouldn't, you know, the only thing I think I hate, there's two things in this world I think I hate. One is mortality. Two is trying to raise money. But in the end, that is what we're trying to do with the Indiegogo.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody looks up on Indiegogo, just simply search out the Crocodile Chronicles. It is spelled a little odd, so I'll spell it for you. Crocodile is spelled K-R-O-K-O-D-I-L. It's not
Crocodile.
Spelled like a...
Yeah.
Like it's,
cocoa,
it's a little
cocoa.
Hard to spell, but if you look that up, on the Indiegogo, it's going for another 17 days now, so we've got plenty of time to try to make it. There's a slew
and it's all
of great,
on,
great
we work. Have links on Cameron's page, on the Crocodile page.
Amazing.
So if you're on
and
Facebook.
And every one of the actors in it, including Leanne Michelle and everybody else that's been a part of it, has been sharing the link like crazy. So it is out there. But
it is
a lot
out there.
Of things, you know, we got, 19 or 20 different perks, so there's a good wide array for people to get in on. You can get in on anything from $1 up to, you get perks to go from $1 up to $1,000. I mean, you know, you get producer credits, you can get, you know, anything from posters, signed DVDs, digital stuff. I'm giving away some rare digital shorts that I actually are not available on DVD or Blu-ray or anything anywhere else that I've done in the past for, like, the collective and things like that. Got that, you know, but if you want DVDs, we can get those. We're going to do special edition VHSs, limited edition posters. You can get parts in the film. You can be an extra junkie in a scene in one of the chapters. You can be a zombie extra. even given away a speaking role opposite Robert Rosardo for people.
And you can be shot
scary.
By Jim O'Rear.
Yeah, and if you ever wanted to be shot on camera, not for real.
There you go.
But if you ever wanted to die on camera, this is your choice. This is your chance. You know, but yeah,
very, very important. Yeah.
Give me a shot on camera. Hey, somebody, that's a bonus item for some people.
I think this is really cool because Cameron has this, Cameron, you know I failed Spanish.
Quattro Venti Scott Productions.
It's like a cup of coffee. I love it.
I forgot. You always use Quattro
Venti Scott Productions. It's like a Scott Free thing.
It's every time, whenever he was on the show, I was like, Quana Posse, I was doing the Passamaquoddy.
Can I interject?
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I've noticed a common trait between us filmmakers who work in the horror genre particularly. We all seem to resent mortality. And yet we kind of play with mortality on a daily basis with our art. And I just wanted to point that out and note how kind of amazing that is because, you know, we're kind of battling a dragon with that.
Well, I totally agree with you.
My therapy.
I totally agree because
therapy.
It's intriguing for people. The darkness is intriguing to people. It's they're alluring.
You know,
it's
like
alluring. It's alluring.
You know, I have to admit that something that she said is if you go to every bookstore, something that's never listed in the bookstore is horror anymore. And that's something that my fiance, he wrote Halloween 4. He has a Black Betsy Books publishing company. Horror is not anywhere within anything, and that's kind of cool that she mentioned that.
Mm-hmm. I think she's absolutely correct.
Well, you know, and what
there's
there
no more horror.
Well, we play with that line, and I think as any kind of an artist, whether you're a musician, a writer, actor, director, whatever, whether you work with pottery or you're a painter, whatever, I think there's a line, and some people, you know, tiptoe over it. But I think as filmmakers, you dance over that line because it's so many different kind of mediums in one. Because with filmmaking, it's not just, you know, I'm not trying to disparage anybody who's just a writer, who is just an actor, or it's just whatever. Because I think, you know, especially everybody we got on, we all dip our toes into different pools, writing,
mm-hmm.
acting,
yeah.
directing,
I
whatnot.
Have a book out,
but,
yeah.
But, yeah, exactly. You know, I'm working on a book. I've, you know, done a little music, you know, but whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever your heart desires. But with filmmaking, I think it's so many mediums. It's visual. It's, you know,
yes.
there's audio.
It's so fluid.
It's a moving
yeah.
painting. It's got music and it's everything,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it has
yeah.
things that got to be synchronized. There's a flow and it's different than any other kind of medium because it's a conglomeration of several.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
I got to say, you know, when my niece was 4 years old, I made her watch The Exorcist beginning. Was she scared? No, she was freaked out, yes, but she had great dreams from now on. So
I have to tell you a funny story, Francie. I have to tell you the funniest story. My mother, Toby, who's no longer here anymore, and I've written a lot of tales about her. Oh, it's okay. In my book, I still talk to her. Because I believe a lot in paranormal. And so anyway, she went to see The Exorcist. I had to pay an adult or beg them for a ticket because we couldn't get in. Remember that, Cameron? You couldn't get in to see The Exorcist. So
no,
it was not easy. You couldn't get in. So we bribed this couple to pretend that they were our parents. So long story short, I had read The Exorcist. I went to see it. And then my mother, we lived in Westwood Village in L.A., my mother walked to the cinema, the Fox Cinema, and saw The Exorcist. She comes home. This is my mother. Her and I were horror freaks. We love horror. And she comes home and she gets down, and I'm sleeping, and she comes down to the bed in my ear and she goes, let me see if I can do this. So, Leanne, how are you doing? And I woke up, I was screaming. She was laughing hysterically. She thought that was the best thing she could have done, was scare me, little teenager, scaring me to death. It was like, that was great.
You gotta love it. You gotta love it. Mm-hmm. And
she was wild.
Let me tell you what I did. I was so proud of this. My older niece, Brittany, I'm going to tag her with this, and she's going to hear this. But I did this, like, great ape head, and I made him a body, and I put him on the toilet. Now, I did this for my niece to be scared, but the thing is that my mom, Sandy Metz, went in there, and she's like, and my bedroom was right next to the bathroom, and she went in there, she's like, holy shit.
That's funny.
Like,
it's amazing what people think they can get away with.
This is where it gets really funny. She goes, Brittany, when she's 4 years old, Brittany, time to go to the bathroom.
Oh, God. No four-year-old's going to go in there now. Forget it.
Yes.
Forget it. My mother was the same way. She was like anything. We would read. She would run lines with me, and she would,
screaming. She's like, "What are you making me do this?" And I was like, "My mom is going to scare the pants off of my niece."
A four-year-old.
And
she
went
in
there.
She sounds like my mother.
Yes.
Speaking of crazy and cast and everything like that, I forgot, I don't know if I asked Cameron already. Michelle's with us, which is, love to hear more from Michelle because I love this cast so much. But who's in the film?
Like, what's that? You cut
everybody.
Out.
Oh, are you there?
Yeah, everything cut out for about 5 seconds. But, no, I hear you fine. No problem.
Okay, so anyway, I was just, I know the cast members, and Robert Lazzardo, and so who else?
Well, you know, it's all about who you know. To be honest, I worked on a film last summer in Nashville, Tennessee, that was directed by Jim O'Rear and Scott Tupperman, who are also both in the film. Jim O'Rear was in Postmortem America. And really, Jim, I have to say, and he probably wouldn't argue with this, I owe Jim quite a lot. He has helped me out quite a bit in meeting people and opening up doors for me and opportunities that I wouldn't have had otherwise. But I got to know Jim. God, I've known Jim for about 10 years. But I got to know so many people on that particular shoot at Nightblade. It kind of rekindled a love for filmmaking for me. Things that got kind of stagnant for me for a little bit. And working on that film rekindled that, and I got to work with people that I had known for quite a while but I never got a chance to work with. So, and I met new people. I got to meet a fellow named Tom Commissar, who works for H&M Films, and he's playing a character in Requiem for a Junkie chapter as well. He plays a cop. I won't say anything else because his character is kind of interesting.
Right. No spoilers.
Yeah, but he plays a fellow police officer, and then met Andrea Collins, who's also known as Andy Nord, who's kind of a scream queen type actress. I met her on that shoot, and that's where I met Robert Lazzardo. And I was shooting behind the scenes stuff. I was shooting a behind the scenes documentary, and basically being a jack of all trades, a public, a production assistant, doing a little bit of everything, driving, food, you know, you name it. But, mm-hmm. you know, heck, I got to even be a driver for Todd Bridges, Willits from Different Strokes, who I would have loved to have gotten
involved. Wow.
I would have loved to have gotten involved on Crocodile Chronicles, but I don't think I could afford him for this. Maybe the next one, you know. But you know, there's a lot of people out of Tennessee, Kentucky, Indiana, Ohio, and kind of the Midwest that I've been wanting to work with for quite a while that I've missed out on working with. And one of them was Andrea Collins, or Andy Noor. She goes by both. Jason Crow, who has been in a bunch of stuff. He was in The Hospital. He was in Moon Rising. He was in Harvest Lake and a bunch of other really great indie films. Kaylee Williams. Now, I've worked with Kaylee before. She actually plays the lead in a chapter that's titled From Needle to Spoon to Grave. And that was the hardest, I have to say, the hardest part to cast. It's a pretty daring part, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was hard to get people interested in any parts in that particular chapter. It is the most gruesome, vile. You guys have both. Well, I know Michelle, you've read it. I think
dark.
You've read it, Leanne. But
yes, I read
it. It's the darkest of the four chapters, I think, as far as exploring some of the subject matter. But Kaylee, I'd worked with before on a short that I did actually just a couple of months ago called Birthday Cake. Of all things, it was called Birthday Cake. And yes, it's still a horror movie, but it's called Birthday Cake. I'll talk about that later. But Kaylee read for the part of Izzy. That's who she's going to be playing, which is the lead character in From Needle to Spoon to Grave. She'll be playing that. And I got a really, really good friend of mine. I've worked with him on pretty much just about everything, about 90% of the stuff I've done. His name is Dennis Lamka. He's also a musician. He's going to be doing a lot of the music for the film. But he's also in the From Needle to Spoon to Grave. I'm actually having a couple more people from Postmore America coming in. Keith Zahn is going to be in your chapter. The role of Nikita, he plays that cameraman, who is just known as the cameraman, because we really don't...
Right, we've got interviewer.
Yeah, there's the interviewer and then the cameraman. They're never known by any name other
yeah.
than interviewer and cameraman. But, you know, that's funny, though.
We've got Scott Tepperman from Ghost Hunters International.
Yeah, and Scott, you know, had asked me, he's like, am I going to get a name? I'm like, no, you're just the interviewer. That's it. Like, that's it. Which he was fine with. But he's like, I need a name. And I'm like, you have a name. You're the interviewer.
Oh, I'll name him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Did you say name or MAME? But then
well,
I do.
You know, pick
right
one.
But, yeah.
I could do both.
Yeah.
Yes.
Both. But but last but not least, there's the final chapter of it, which we're going in order that they go into film. The last chapter is called The King of Pain, which I got a fellow that I've, again, from Indiana, that I've, my home state, that I've almost worked with a half dozen times, David Ross, a really, really amazing character actor. And we're bringing back a Postmortem alumni, Michelle Shields. And plays
that's
his daughter.
Right. You've got Donna Hamlin.
And Donna is, yeah, oh God, I almost forgot. Now, Donna Hamlin is playing your mother, Michelle.
Right.
That's who's going to be playing. That's going to be playing Hope's mama.
And she plays my mom.
And Damian Coletti. I got
yeah.
I can't forget.
And Damian Coletti.
Yeah.
Cameron. You need the IMDb there, Cameron, because I can send it to you.
What's that?
You want the IMDb?
Yeah, I should have. I think I've named off everybody, but
I think so. I'm not. My brain's kind of going. Let me see. Did he mention everybody?
It's
a great ensemble cast.
To the point where you have so many, and you put so much pressure on yourself to make sure that you mention everyone's name that you might miss one. You know, it happens.
Hey, the way, I do got to, you were talking about that people love Cameron Scott. I got two new people that says we love Cameron Scott.
Oh, really? Somebody loves me?
Somebody loves you, Cameron.
I talked to them. They were a little bit busy, and they did tell me to tell you
that they love you. Joel D. Winecoop says, Cameron, I love you.
Knowing him, he probably did yell it, because as much as I love Joel,
he always yells it. Yeah, he's like,
you'll probably talk to him before
I don't know if I can call in tonight, but I love you.
That's probably exactly how Joel said it. That man, I may
it
say
is
now this,
exactly. You know, it was kind of funny. The first time we did the first live show free, you know, coming back, he called as a distraught Yelp, not Yelp.
Yelper?
Taxi drivers.
Oh, Uber drivers.
Can I please get my taxi driver to the corner now?
That's the thing. I love Joel, but if you're listening, Joel, if you hear me, this is Cameron. All right, I'm talking to you directly now because I know you'll listen to this later. One, I love you, brother. Always
calm down.
Will. But you're loud, man. You need to tone it down.
Come on,
so loud.
How many things do you want to do? Shut up.
I think, Joel, you're a little bit deaf. You might need a hearing aid. You're loud, brother. You almost made my editor go deaf with the voice of America.
Actually, this is when I called him back a second time. I'm like, wait, I just changed my new phone number. Maybe Joel doesn't realize that this is my phone number. Okay, are you guys ready to hear how Joel answered the phone?
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Hello.
Hello. Is this Joel? This is Francie. Oh, hey. We're about to go live on with Francie and friends, and Cameron Scott's going to be on the show. Oh, crap. Seriously, you're going to ask him if he whispered this. He said,
that doesn't sound like Joel to be, though.
And I'm like,
I pick on him, but
I'll tell Cam that you love him. He's like, okay. Call in tonight. Can you tell Cameron that I love him?
Was Joel sick? Because that does not sound like how I think Joel would sound like.
I will be honest to you, if you call Joel tomorrow and say, did you talk to Francie last night? Did you whisper? Hello.
Didn't you, Francie, say someone else called too?
There's somebody else that wishes you the most best of luck, Cameron Scott, because I got a lot.
Who is it? Ron Fitzgerald.
You know Ron Fitzgerald?
Yeah, I know Ron. Yeah.
He wanted to call in tonight, too, and he said, fuck. That was his word.
That was nice.
Yeah, I know Ron. Actually, I ran into a guy on a semi-related story. Before I got kind of laid up from work here with my bum knee, we had a distributor come in, the guy that's I work in a restaurant. He's always trying to, you know, sell us new product, new foods and whatnot. And somebody had told him, he's like, hey, you make horror movies and, you know, do that kind of thing. He's like, yeah. He's like, I got my friend's brother. He's like, is a magician. He's like, you probably don't know him. He's like, his name's Ron Fitzgerald. And I'm like, fuck yeah, I know Ron. Like, we've done, like, several conventions together, and he's worked with Kaylee as well, you know, so it's like, it's all kind of connected. He couldn't believe, he's like, yeah, check this out, and he's like, he had, like, recently been at some, like, birthday party with his brother, and sure enough, you know, there's Ron, and he's taking pictures with him. He's like, so you know this guy? I'm like, shit, yeah, it is a small world. It's like some random guy just coming
in. It is, and Ron was like, damn it, damn it, of all nights to have Cameron Scott on. Please
well,
send
bad.
Him all
Ron
my love. He was like, damn it, I gotta talk to Cameron. He was really disappointed.
I think he's got my number. You know how to get a hold of me.
Yeah, so there's
really...
like, oh, that's really cool, though, Cameron. I mean, think about it. You got all these people. I mean, not only mentally and physically, but you got them virtually, and everybody supports you.
Well,
you know,
then I guess I can, sorry, Cam, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Actually, I already lost my train of thought.
Oh, shit. I guess I shouldn't say that. I'm sorry.
I saw something shiny. You know, it's okay. I'll remember it soon.
Oh, God, I hope. I'm sorry. The one thing that I wanted to say on that note, Francy, is that because, you know, we all have collectively thousands of Facebook friends, thousands. And I was
mm-hmm.
thinking, wow, if we, you know, we pay $6 for a cup of coffee in the morning. And I'm sure there are people
yeah,
out there who are distracted by other things or have reasons or, excuse me, whatever the reasons are. If they could just put something aside and focus in on the art of what we're trying to do. We're asking people to please, everybody out there, you know, we need your help. We want your help. We want to create something that is incredible, that creates awareness,
yes.
And it's beautifully written. It's going to be beautifully made. There's an incredible cast. There's beautiful perks. You can find the link to the Indiegogo for Crocodile Chronicles.
And give the website one more time.
Well, it's indiegogo.com, but you can find that on Cameron's page.
Yeah,
you can find it on the Crocodile page.
Michelle, everybody.
The easiest way to find us is on Facebook.
Yes.
And it's, you know, if you've got a phone, an iPhone or any kind of phone or a computer, you can go to Facebook and just type in Crocodile, O-D-I-L, Crocodile, Chronicles, and even if you just go KRO, it'll probably come up for you, and you go there, and you'll find the Indiegogo, and you just click that thing. It's so easy. It says donate. Boom, you're done within 2 minutes. You're done. You've contributed to a piece of artwork. You've actually been a part of creating something. When we do that, when we come together and we do that, we're actually all creating this together. And I really want to stress that this is something that is a collective consciousness. And when we create this film, believe me, you're going to walk away or turn off your computer, or try to get this out of your head, and you're going to be so damn disturbed. Lucky you. So go there, find us, and help. And that's all I have to say about that.
I think that was a really good sales pitch. And, you know, and that's what a lot of people have got to do. I mean, you got Wonder Woman. Wow! What about the best of the best, who has the creative image, who does what is best for Hollywood.
It doesn't matter. Everybody is,
yeah,
I grew up in the industry.
Yeah.
I grew up in the industry. I was surrounded by it my whole life. It doesn't matter. Film, it's very strange how it works in the end. It doesn't matter who's got the bigger budget. I don't care about Wonder Woman. I care about the Crocodile Chronicles. And people are going to make their choices.
That's actually a really good, I like that.
Well, it's what it comes down to, believe it or not, is you are going to have equal amounts of people doing different things. we're working on this. So as we work on this,
we're creating, and everybody
can be a part of that.
Yeah, if everybody made the same thing, then there would just be one movie.
Yeah,
How monotonous would the world be
if that were the case?
Oh,
my God.
God, it would be so boring. I say that all the time. I say it all the time.
Well, this is very, right, but this is very different.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, may I interject for a moment?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Well, I'm actually going to be at Sinister Creature Con in Stockton, California this upcoming weekend, June 10th and 11th at the Stockton Arena. And one of the boons that I would like to offer is I'll be at my table doing signings. And anybody who has contributed to Crocodile Chronicles and can show me their verification, I'll give them a copy of one of my more coveted full-feature films, like O Unilateralis, as a thank-you gift for the boon if they contribute $5 or more.
That's wonderful.
Campaign.
That's you, baby.
That's kind of cool because you're in Stockton, California, right?
I don't live there, no. I'm going to be a featured guest at the convention. So
yeah,
I'll be traveling.
We're in Antelope, California. So we're like, 30 miles away?
Yeah,
we're near Stockton.
Oh, nice.
You guys should go.
Yeah, it's Northern California
totally
for me. It's an hour and a half away.
Yeah, we're not too far away.
Well, you should go too. We can meet and have tea.
Yes, hello.
Honey. Oh my gosh, I want to have tea with you.
I'm a tea toddler, being really a Russian. I don't drink coffee. I'll bring you coffee.
That there's somebody else who doesn't drink coffee because that leaves more in the coffee budget for me.
For you. We all know this, Cameron.
I like coffee. I like coffee and Red Bull.
Oh.
I love Red Bull. Oh, yeah.
I used to be so addicted to that.
When are you going to be in Stockton again?
June 10th and 11th, I'll be at the Stockton Arena at Sinister Creature Con.
Very cool.
Well,
send me the link to that, Michelle, so I can put it on my page. Can you?
Yeah, you can find me there. My name is Michelle Mesk.
Right.
And, yeah. Yeah.
Just send me the link on my PM so I can just promote the hell out of you. Be wonderful.
That would be beautiful.
Yeah. So send me the link, and I'll go ahead.
Oh, also, I'm very formal, and may I send you a friend request on the
Yes,
Facebook?
You may. Let me see if I can accept. I can't accept any. I thought we were.
Are we?
I don't know. I think so.
Incredibly sorry if we are, and I did not note it.
I think we are. You can PM me.
Jerk.
Yeah.
Cameron, I'm going to be jealous. Y'all are going to be at a convention this weekend having tea, and I'm just going to be sitting here looking at my cut-up knee.
You poor thing.
I wish I could just, like, kidnap you and take you along. That was, like, the whole goal.
yeah. That would be cool.
Because you were, I did contact you. I was like, you want to go to Stockton?
If I had a choice between surgery and going to any convention, I would choose the convention 99.
Body snatcher time.
Can you guys hear me? I dropped my phone.
I can.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I always worry, I'm like, all of a sudden, so I dropped my phone, I picked it up, and I'm like.
Are you there?
Hello? Yeah, yep, I'm here.
Okay, good.
I was dusting off my phone, I'm like, I dropped it, and of course, the first thing that happens is the cat goes for it. I always got a cat by my feet, and it never fails.
Yeah, give
when
me.
This show's going on. I got a cat
gotta
by my damn feet every time.
All right,
honey. So I'm going to log off.
Forward But
I want to say so nice to meet you on this show, everybody. And Michelle, please PM me and I'll make plans to come up and see you. I would love that, actually.
Absolutely.
Love.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah. And Cameron, thank you so much for the incredible opportunity that you've given us as actors and creative people and Francie
well,
and friends.
Thank you for all the kind words about my writing and whatnot. There.
Oh, your writing's incredible. I'm a total snob when it comes to that.
Well, you know, that's...
Well, I definitely want to thank
first passion
for being
is
a part of the show. You were
I'm sorry,
awesome.
Cameron, what? I didn't hear that.
I said my first passion always has been writing. The construct of the story and constructing the characters and writing form.
You can see the mood of things that you write. If I can visualize when a writer is writing and I can actually see and feel, like when I did the audition for Nikita, I did it one take because I couldn't stop crying. And immediately I knew I wanted Nikita. And I remember that you really wanted me to have Nikita, but somebody else bested me, as you recall. And I believe that if an actor bests you, if someone bests you as an actor, then it's been a fair audition. You know what I'm saying? With actors, you don't slap them in the face. You pat them on the back. And there's so much of the slapping going on, you know? And I don't come from that school where you slap, you pat.
Right. You don't make yourself look good by making other people look bad.
I think you've given us an opportunity. Exactly, Michelle. I think you've given us such a great opportunity to get into these characters. When you gave me Nikita, I was like, oh my God, this is the role that I've always wanted to play, this kind of a role. I understood her. That's why I could only give you one take of her, because I had to pull myself together. I was like praying, going, okay, I'm going to send this one take. Because if I do it again, I'm going to cry all the way through it, and it won't work, you know? But I do want to thank you for introducing me to Nikita and the Crocodile. And Michelle, I hope we get to meet, and I just want to say thank you so much, and I'm going to sign off. Bless you, bye.
Thank you.
I think it's awesome, and I'm so happy that you called in on our show tonight.
Thank you so much. Good night, you guys.
All right. Talk to you.
Good night.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Good night.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Bye. So what was actually really fun, if it's okay with you, Cameron, if I talk about the video that I did for Crocodile Chronicles?
Yes, actually, that's supposed to go live tomorrow.
Oh, is it? It's exciting.
Yes.
Cameron,
I wanted to get it posted before I actually have to go to the doctor and get my surgery. That way, it's a case of I am laid up for a day or two. It's out there. But yes, talk about the little... I always call it the giving up hope video. That's what I refer to it as.
Well, it's fun because we get to play with the found footage genre, which, of course, I am very much in love with.
I
know,
that
right?
Was,
I know.
Full on sarcasm right there.
I know. That was some damn good hyperbole.
Right on.
So I get to thank you on air for letting me write that sequence for Hope. And when I came up with the idea to do it, for you giving me the green light to go ahead, it was a lot of fun. Getting into the character space, like the headspace of Hope. And I'm really, really grateful for you indulging me.
Oh, I'm grateful for you doing it. It was great. It was a great video because I'm just like, this is our first, because I thought to myself, other than the couple of audition videos, like the one Leanne had done and a few other people had done,
I'm like, this is like the first glimpse like that I'm even getting.
I got it.
This is the first glimpse anybody would get of one of the characters from the film. You know what I mean? They're like, everybody's, you know, we got our character profiles and our pictures and whatnot. I'm like, but this, like, Hope is the first character that anybody gets to see. You know, people see and get to talk to me and talk to Jim and talk to Leanne with promo videos we did, but none of them were in character, so I was kind of excited to see all that myself.
Yay, I'm so happy to hear that. That's exciting. Yay.
But yeah, it was
okay,
pretty cool.
I'm done saying yay
a
whole bunch.
What's that?
Go on. Go on. No.
But I was just saying, you know, what I think I want to do with it too, if, you know, I always have plans ahead for, before the movie's even finished, I'm like planning DVD extras and things like that. But I was planning on using that video as like a DVD extra, like as a message from Hope, you know, and just like put it on there as a little tidbit, you know. Because, then again, by the time we make this movie, physical media might be dead. We might just be releasing it digitally, but still, it doesn't mean it can't be an extra. But I talk about DVDs, and I swear to God, sometimes people are just like, you know, those are dying, right? I'm like, not as long as I got something to say about it. I like having, just like a book, I like having a physical DVD in my hands every once in a while.
Right? Well, you got to look at them, narrow your eyes like an action anime character, and be like, you shut your mouth.
But, I actually have somebody who says that is a friend of mine who actually was an extra in Postmodern America. He played a couple of, actually played like 6 or 7 different zombies, and he got a Postmodern America tattoo. And he told me to hurry up because he's the only person I know of that has a Postmodern America tattoo. So if anybody else has one, please let me know. I'd love to see it. But he is so geared up and ready to be an extra on Crocodile Chronicles that he's already planning his Crocodile Chronicles. He's got it on the PMA tattoo on one shoulder, and he wants to have the Crocodile Chronicles tattoo on the other shoulder. He's like, so you got to hurry the fuck up and get this movie made. He's like, because I'm itching to get new ink. And I'm like, well, hell, it's been like 8 years since I've gotten a tattoo. I'm the chance of moving. So he's got to, you know, I'm like, if I got to wait, you got to wait. So I made a promise to myself I would not get another tattoo until I got my next feature film made. So I think that's maybe the end goal of why I'm trying to get this movie made so bad. Because
right,
because
you just
want to
get more ink.
Yeah, well, and I'm running out of canvas. I've got like 7 tattoos, so I gotta like, you know, space them out every couple of years, or I'll end up, you know, tattooing every single inch of my body. That's just me. They're addicting. They're addicting. More
they
addicting
are.
Than
I've
Red
only
Bulls.
Got 4 little ones.
I got several little ones, but I have one large one on my back that's like 32 hours worth of work, and that like
nice.
Took 2 years and about 7 or 8 sessions to get done. That was that was a little painful. A little bit. A lot of it, but a little bit.
I always wanted to get dragon scales on my skin.
You do have or you want to get?
Want to get.
See, I got a little bit of everything. I got a wrestling tattoo, I got a Misfits tattoo, I got zombie tattoos. I got a Phantasm tattoo. That was my first. That was actually my first piece of ink with a Phantasm tattoo.
I have.
You're looking
Ouroboros.
Like actually getting the. Huh.
I have an Ouroboros, butterfly kitty cat, a flying fairy, and then one other.
I have more ideas. Is this like with movies? I have more ideas for more movies I could ever make in a lifetime, and I have more ideas for tattoos I want to get than I could ever achieve to get. I don't, you know, because eventually you run out of canvas.
Right. But, I am a big fan of neck tattoos and like arm tattoos. I feel like those are my favorite tattoo placements.
Yeah.
It looks so cool.
I got literally one on each leg, one on each arm, one on my chest, and then the one on my back, I always say should count for more than one. As much as it covers like 2/3 of my back. It should probably count as at least 2 or 3. No, I say
nice.
Your size. What about you, Francie? You still with us?
I don't have any tattoos. I am totally paranoid
tattoo
of needles.
Oh, my God, you're kidding.
I cannot even take a shot. In fact, I had this tick bite on the back